Welcome back, everybody. I think we're all ready to dive into something a little bit different today.
Different. How so?
Well, we're going to be talking about trees,
Oh, okay.
but not just any trees, trees in medicine.
Trees and medicine.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to be looking at native woody plants and how they were used in American herbal
Yeah,
traditions.
this should be interesting.
And for this deep dive, we're going to be using a presentation by Stephen Foster,
Oh, wow.
who is a renowned expert in medicinal plants.
Right.
He gave this presentation for the Arkansas Native Plant Society.
I've heard of them.
So, when we think about herbal medicine, we tend to think about, delicate flowers
I guess so.
and herbs,
Right.
but trees actually played a huge role in early American healing practices.
Really? Wow.
So it's a story that unfolds over centuries, and it's really woven together from a lot of different threads.
Okay.
We have the Native American knowledge that was passed down through generations, and a lot of this knowledge was actually documented in early travel logs and colonial
Oh, well,
writings,
that's interesting.
not just botanical texts. And then, we have the European settlers who brought their own traditions and knowledge. And then in America, we have regular physicians and irregular physicians.
What's the difference?
Well, it really reflects the medical landscape of the time.
Okay.
So the regulars were kind of like the doctors of the day. They were sticking to the established medical books. And then you have the irregulars, who were kind of like the rebels of the medical world.
Okay.
So these folks were all about plant-based remedies, even if it challenged kind of the accepted norms.
Interesting.
One of these groups is called the Thomsonians.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
And then you have pharmacists who also played a big role.
Pharmacists, okay.
So pharmacists like John Uri Lloyd,
I know that name.
he was really instrumental in bringing plant-based remedies to the mainstream. And his work with plants like echinacea, black cohosh, and saw palmetto had a lasting impact on how we view herbal medicine today.
So these remedies that we're talking about, are they things that have faded into obscurity, or are some of these, trees that we see every day hiding medicinal secrets?
Honestly, it's kind of both.
Really?
So take the box elder, for example.
Okay, the box elder.
Most folks just see that as a common tree,
Right. Yeah.
maybe even a weedy tree,
Yeah.
but it was used for a lot more than just shade.
Oh.
Early Americans tapped it for maple sugar.
Maple sugar from a box elder?
Yeah,
Huh.
they crafted pipe stems from its branches,
Oh, wow.
and they even used it as an emetic,
Wait, an emetic meaning,
meaning to induce vomiting.
Oh, so they use it to make themselves throw up?
Yeah, it was actually a common springtime practice back then.
Why would they do that?
They saw it as a way to cleanse the system.
Oh.
I don't know if that's something we'd want to try today.
Yeah, probably not.
But it speaks volumes about how resourceful people were,
Yeah.
using, every part of the tree for some purpose.
So it sounds like people had a much deeper knowledge of the plants around them than we do today.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we might not be brewing up box elder bark tea
Oh.
anytime soon, but there's got to be a bigger takeaway here.
Right. I mean, it's a call to remember the depth of knowledge,
Yeah.
the history woven into these trees, and who knows, maybe
Yeah.
it'll spark some curiosity about potential benefits that we haven't fully explored yet.
That's a good point.
So
Yeah.
Foster also mentioned the Ohio buckeye,
Okay, the Buckeye.
those trees with the shiny nut-like seeds.
Right.
Carrying one of those seeds was thought to ward off illness. It was like a little good luck charm. You could put it in your pocket.
Interesting.
And it's interesting to compare that to the European horse chestnut,
Oh.
which is a close relative.
Okay.
The European variety actually has documented medical uses today.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's used for treating bruises, and even brain injuries.
So one was seen as a charm, and the other actually has medicinal properties.
Exactly.
That's a fascinating contrast.
And speaking of plants with surprising uses,
Okay.
let's talk about mimosa trees.
Mimosa
They
trees.
get a bad rap for being invasive in some areas,
Yeah, I've heard that.
but guess what? They actually have a secret life.
A secret life.
Yeah, as a powerful antidepressant in traditional Chinese medicine.
So a tree that some people consider a nuisance is actually used to lift people's spirits in another part of the world.
Exactly. It
Wow.
really challenges our perspectives
Yeah, it does.
on what's, useful or invasive. We might just need to shift our thinking
All right.
and look for the hidden potential.
That's a great point.
I mean, we're literally surrounded by these powerful plants and we often just walk right by them.
Yeah, I know.
So let's talk about another tree that's common in many parts of the U.S.,
Right.
the pawpaw.
The pawpaw?
I know the fruit is delicious,
Yeah, it is.
but the rest of the plant is actually toxic.
That's right.
It's a great reminder that nature offers potent remedies,
Yeah.
but it's up to us to approach them with respect and knowledge.
Right.
So the leaves of the pawpaw can cause skin irritation, and the seeds are considered narcotic.
There's something almost sinister about that.
Yeah.
How a tree can offer both delicious fruit and hidden toxins.
It's true. And speaking of respect for trees,
Okay.
the story of the Ozark chinquapin is a sobering one.
The Ozark chinquapin.
It's a type of chestnut tree
Yeah.
that was once a dominant presence in the Ozark Mountains, but then tragedy struck.
What happened?
The arrival of chestnut blight,
Oh no.
which is a devastating fungal disease,
Right.
it wiped out most of these magnificent trees.
That's so sad.
It's a stark reminder of the threats our native trees face.
Yeah.
But thankfully, there is hope.
Oh, good.
Over at Hobbs State Park, there are dedicated efforts to breed blight-resistant Ozark chinquapins.
Wow, so they're trying to bring them back.
Yeah, it's an inspiring example of how human intervention can sometimes help restore what we've lost.
That's great.
So from the everyday box elder to the tragic tale of the Ozark chinquapin, we're seeing that these trees have stories to tell.
Yeah, they do.
Histories intertwined with our own.
That's true.
Let's move on to another tree that's not just beautiful, but played a vital role in early medicine.
Okay.
The dogwood.
The dogwood.
You might be surprised to learn that it was a key treatment for malaria.
Really? For
Yeah.
malaria?
Back in colonial America, and get
Beautiful.
this, recent research is actually supporting its effectiveness.
So a remedy used centuries ago is now being validated by modern science.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, dogwoods are facing their own challenges today.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're currently threatened by dogwood anthracnose,
Dogwood anthracnose.
which is another fungal disease
Oh, no.
that's impacting their populations.
It seems like there are a lot of threats to our trees these days.
Yeah, it highlights this delicate balance we need to maintain, appreciating the benefits of these plants
Right.
while also actively protecting them for the future.
That's a good point.
Okay, let's shift gears to a tree that's still an official medicine in the United States.
Oh, really?
Witch hazel.
Which hazel?
I remember my grandmother swearing by it for all sorts of skin ailments,
Yeah, me too.
and she was right to trust it.
So how does it work?
Well, first of all, it's remarkable how it spreads its seeds. So the seed capsules dry out, they build up pressure, and then boom, they launch the
Like
seeds.
they shoot them out.
Yeah, with surprising force.
Wow, nature's ingenuity at its finest.
It ensures that those seeds get scattered far and wide, giving the next generation the best chance to thrive.
Okay, so get ready for this next one.
Okay.
It completely changed how I view a certain tree
All right.
that's probably growing right in your neighborhood.
Okay, tell me.
The Yaupon holly.
The Yaupon holly.
It's truly unique.
In what way?
It's the only North American plant that contains caffeine.
Caffeine in a holly tree.
I know, right?
That's
It
incredible.
has a rich history.
Tell me more.
Native American tribes used it extensively,
Oh, did they?
not just as a beverage,
Yeah.
but also in ceremonies and rituals.
So this wasn't just your average cup of tea.
It was a plant deeply embedded in cultural traditions.
So why aren't we all drinking Yaupon holly tea today?
But has a bit of a branding problem.
A branding problem. How so?
Its scientific name is Ilex vomitoria.
Ilex vomitoria.
And as you can probably guess, that name doesn't exactly make people want to reach for a cup.
So wait, it's called Ilex vomitoria. Did it make people sick?
No, not exactly. The name comes from its historical use in certain purification rituals
Okay.
that involve vomiting. But the thing is, scientific studies have shown that this name actually puts people off.
Makes sense.
Just seeing that word associated with a beverage is enough to make them avoid it altogether.
It's a shame because it's a delicious tea with so much history behind it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can rebrand it as something more appealing.
Like what?
I don't know, like sparkling motivation tea or something.
That's a great idea.
What do you think?
I think we could launch a whole rebranding campaign.
Yeah.
But on a more serious note,
Okay.
it raises some important questions.
Like what?
How do we perceive and value plants based on their names and past uses?
Yeah, it makes you realize how much our perception is shaped by those seemingly small details.
It's true.
I think we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
But I know Stephen Foster didn't stop there.
Oh, we didn't.
He touched on several other noteworthy trees.
Oh,
Intriguing
I'm
properties.
intrigued.
Want to walk us through some of those?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He mentioned redbud,
Redbud.
which has those beautiful purple flowers in the
Oh,
spring.
I don't know if.
Those flowers are actually edible.
Really? I didn't know that.
And the bark has astringent properties.
Interesting.
Then there's fringe tree,
Fringe tree.
which might surprise you to learn, was once one of the best-selling medicinal plants in the United States.
Wow, I had no idea.
And who knew that leatherwood,
Leatherwood.
a tree known for its incredibly flexible branches,
Right.
was also used medicinally as a cathartic.
This is fascinating.
I know, right?
Each of these trees has a hidden story,
Yeah, they do.
a secret life beyond just being part of the landscape.
It's true.
What else did Foster mention?
He also highlighted American beech,
Your American beech.
known for its soothing properties.
So, what was it used for?
It was traditionally used to treat burns and even poison ivy
Oh,
rashes.
that's good to know.
And then there's honey locust,
Honey locust.
whose Chinese counterpart is used in traditional medicine to
Oh,
treat
yeah.
coughs and sore throats.
It's like each of these trees has a unique gift to offer.
It really
We just need to be open to learning their secrets.
highlights the interconnectedness of nature and human history.
Yeah.
These trees weren't just sources of medicine. They were woven into the fabric of daily life, used for food, tools,
Yeah.
and even in spiritual
So
practicing.
it's not just about extracting their medicinal properties.
Right.
It's about appreciating that deeper connection we've had with these trees for centuries.
Exactly.
It's a valuable perspective to reclaim.
And as we've seen, there's still so much to learn.
I know, right?
We've only scratched the surface of the potential benefits of these trees.
It's incredible.
What stands out to you from all that we've talked about so far?
I think for me, it's the way that these ordinary trees had so many uses.
Yeah.
Like the box elder,
Right.
who knew they could be tapped for maple syrup,
I know, it's amazing.
and that they used it to, cleanse the system.
Yeah.
It just speaks to how much knowledge they had.
Yeah, definitely a deeper connection to nature than we have today.
And then there's that whole idea of lost knowledge,
Right.
especially with the Ozark Chinkapin.
Yeah, it's a shame.
We're not just talking about interesting stories from the past, but potential remedies and sustainable resources.
Our entire species that are disappearing.
It's a lot to think about.
Yeah, it is.
But going back to those trees we talked about,
Okay.
trees that ward off illness, trees that are now being studied for their medicinal properties,
Yeah.
even a tree with caffeine.
It's wild.
Out of all those trees, which one sticks out to you?
I think it's the dogwood.
A dogwood.
It's just remarkable to think that it was a frontline treatment for malaria.
I know, and modern science is backing that up.
It's a great example of how traditional knowledge can be validated by modern science.
I'm with you on that one, and honestly, I'm also rooting for the Yaupon holly.
The one with the bad name.
Yeah, it has such an incredible history.
It does.
And the fact that it contains caffeine is
We
mind-blowing.
need to get past that name, though.
We do. It's a shame that something so valuable is being overlooked.
I agree.
But anyway, I have to circle back to those exploding witch hazel seeds.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
I'm still picturing those tiny green rockets launching off into the forest.
Such a brilliant adaptation.
It really is.
It ensures that those seeds don't just fall at the base of the tree,
Right.
they get spread out.
So what do you think all this means for the future of herbal medicine?
Well, I think this deep dive has highlighted something crucial.
What's that?
The importance of weaving together both traditional knowledge and modern scientific inquiry.
Okay, so like taking the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
What else?
Well, we can learn so much from the wisdom of those who came before us,
Right.
respecting their deep understanding of these plants. But we can also use modern research to validate those uses,
Yeah.
explore new possibilities,
Okay.
and make sure we're using these resources responsibly and sustainably.
It's like we're standing at this crossroads
I like that.
where ancient wisdom meets cutting-edge science
And they can lead us to new discoveries.
and a deeper understanding of the natural world.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just medicine.
In what way?
It's about cultivating a deeper respect for trees,
Yeah.
recognizing their ecological importance, appreciating their many gifts.
So for our listeners who are feeling inspired to learn more about these trees,
Yeah.
where would you suggest they start?
I would definitely recommend Stephen Foster's books.
Oh yeah, those are great.
He's done some incredible work documenting medicinal plants.
And if you're interested in Arkansas plants.
Yes.
Arkansas Native Plant Society is a great resource.
They have so much to offer.
And for a broader perspective, I always recommend the Native American Ethnobotany Database.
That's a good one.
It's online and really showcases indigenous knowledge.
This knowledge wasn't acquired overnight.
That's for sure.
It was accumulated over generations.
It's a reminder to be patient and observant.
And to respect the wisdom of those who came before us.
Well, I think that about wraps up our discussion on benevolent trees.
Wow, that was fascinating.
It really was. We journeyed through centuries from folk remedies to modern research.
And uncovered some hidden powers.
Of trees that have been right under our noses all along.
From the yaupon holly to the dogwood.
These benevolent trees offer a glimpse into a world where nature and healing are intertwined.
And as we move forward,
yeah,
we need to approach these trees with respect, curiosity,
and a commitment to both preservation and responsible use. It feels like we've only scratched the surface.
We have. There's so much more to learn.
What other forgotten uses are out there just waiting to be rediscovered?
Imagine the possibilities.
New sources of sustainable materials.
New approaches to ecological restoration.
Maybe even breakthroughs in medicine.
It's exciting to think about.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to tell us something.
Right. Urging us to pay attention.
To remember what they know.
Maybe we can learn to listen.
And rediscover this knowledge.
And maybe even build a better relationship with nature.
Well, we're all a part of it.
We are.
So to all our listeners out there,
yeah,
we challenge you to keep exploring.
Get outside.
Take a walk.
Look at the trees.
See them with new eyes.
They're not just providing shade.
They're living libraries.
With stories to tell.
Histories to uncover.
Maybe even some secret remedies.
Who knows? You might make the next big discovery.
You might find a new benevolent tree.
Well, that's it for our deep dive into benevolent trees.
I hope you enjoyed it.
We hope you learned something new.
And we hope you feel inspired.
To keep learning.
Keep discovering.
And keep those tree-loving spirits high.
Until next time.
See you then.